There it is. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. And a special welcome to anyone who may be visiting with us this morning, and particularly those who are with us this morning because they are here as part of our All Saints Day worship. We're pleased to have you with us. And as always, those who join us on the live stream each week, it is good to welcome our electronic visitors with us. Before we go any further, because I got distracted and I didn't make it back up, Roy, would you put up the first slide of the call to worship? That looks perfect. Thank you, Roy. Okay, I'm going back to the announcements now. There was just a little technical glitch last night in my world, and I was just making sure that you had the right slides this morning, or else we were going to have to do last week's worship all over again. Welcome this morning. As always, the announcements were before you as you were gathering this morning, so I hope you had an opportunity to make note of those which are of most importance to you. A quick note on four things. The first has to do with scripture readers for the remainder of the year. If you would like to be part of the rotation for reading of scripture, Rob has put a list. I don't know if there's one at both doors. I know it's on the table back here. So please take a moment to take a look at that. And if you want to sign up for a week, put your name beside a date. As the year fast approaches the end once more, and we in the office are looking forward to the year 2026, one of the things that we're doing this year to rationalize things a little bit is reassigning the numbers on the envelope boxes. In congregations, that happens every now and then because we just get too many holes in between, and we end up ordering 200 sets of envelopes for 100 people who wish to have them. So if you would like envelopes for the coming year, speak to Rob. And a special note, if you are on pads, if you're doing the pre-authorized deposits for your offering, for the last several years, we have been issuing envelopes to all the pads people. This year, unless you tell us, we're not going to issue a set of envelopes. So particularly for pads, folks, please make note of that. If you could let the church office know in the next couple of weeks, we'll be looking at getting the envelopes ready to be out no later than the 1st of December. Over the past several years, we have invited people who might like to test drive being part of the choir and providing musical leadership to join the choir a couple of different times during the year, Christmas and Easter most notably, because that's one of those times of year when we sing all those great pieces of music and people like to join with the choir. So if, as we start looking towards the season of Advent and Christmas, if you would like to join with the choir, we have some great and lofty plans for the coming couple of months. Please speak to Olivia about that, and we'll be looking towards probably welcoming extra people in the choir in a week or so. And finally, we had several questions this week regarding the election of elders. And instead of dealing with them all one by one, I thought we'd just deal with them all as a class together. So here you go. Here are the questions that we have received this week. Can I elect only one person? Certainly you can put only one person. That's the practical and the pragmatic answer to that question. The faith-based minister answer that I want to give you is this, however. If you are having trouble figuring out more than one, you need to go back to your closet in prayer. Pray that the Spirit of God is going to release His that God is going to release His Spirit upon this congregation and members of it, and pray for God to lead you to the ones who might fit the bill as an elder. But if at the end of the process you still have not four complete names, that's fine. Put who you have. Past elders have shown up on the list because past elders are eligible to be re-elected to session. All that you need to... Correction. I was going to say, all you need to be an elder is to be a member of the church. That's the beginning step. All elders are members of the congregation. And after that, we look for things such as spiritual maturity, their commitment to the church, and the role that they have played previously in the church, which may give you some clues as to who might be a fitting addition to the elder, which ties nicely into the third question I received this week, which had to do about age. An eagle-eyed member of the congregation noted that Bruce Miles in the pamphlet that we provided last week said an elder has to be 25 years old. I have no idea where Bruce Miles got that. I'm going to be honest with you. No idea whatsoever. Nowhere in the Book of Forms, nowhere in the material that we have regarding elders does it say 25 years at present. I think when we circulated that brochure a while ago, we noted that it was a wonderful brochure, but it was from about 1978. So perhaps something has changed. Indeed, most of the materials that the Presbyterian Church in Canada has produced regarding membership or eldership has said age is not an issue. We're not all looking for old people or elderly. But again, that's where spiritual maturity and the role that they play within the life of the congregation might come into view for you this week. So those are the questions we've received so far. Hopefully that's the only questions, or we've dealt with most of them. We have one more week for folks to provide, to return their ballots. The ballot, we will close the reception for voting papers on Monday morning, the 10th of November, at 9 o'clock in the morning. Really, it's November 9th, but Rob won't be here to do that on the 9th. So at 10, the first thing Rob will do on Monday morning after next Sunday when he comes in is to tabulate the results. And with all of that, let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship. And as we come in worship, I didn't make it back up here to the sanctuary this morning, which is why I didn't recheck the... I didn't have a chance to check the slides. The other thing I didn't do was change the candle, which I was supposed to come back up and do. And I'm not going to be able to get it done. Imagine that we have lit the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in his light. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing praise in the assembly of the faithful. So that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. Praise the Lord. Sing praise to the Lord. Sing praise in the assembly of the faithful. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with victory. Let the faithful exult in glory. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing praise in the assembly of the faithful. The holy ones of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess it forever, forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing praise in the assembly of the faithful. One of those come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, who calls your people into one beloved family, who teaches us the way of peace through life together, who fills us with visions of your eternal reign, as we now celebrate the communion of the saints, pour into our hearts the power of Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. And as we come in worship this morning, we sing a new hymn, not really a new hymn, new for St. John's, however, Round the Lord in Glory Seated. And Olivia, will you play the whole hymn through so that people get to hear it?
Thank you.
And in case you wonder where that hymn comes from, it did appear in the 1972 Book of Praise to a different tune than the one that we just sang. The tune we just sang was a Welsh tune, and it was a belter in my congregation when I grew up. So every now and then, especially on All Saints, we remember people who have come before us in the faith, and that is one gift of the church to me. Friends, the redeeming love of God in Jesus Christ extends from generation to generation, keeping us in life and in death and in life everlasting. Together, let us seek God's forgiveness as we say together the prayer of confession as it appears before us. Beloved God, who is known to our mothers and fathers and generations before, have mercy on us. We do not always love as you would have us love. We do not always do as you would have us do. In our stubbornness, we turn from you when we should turn toward you. Hold us, dear one. Comfort us when we mourn in the passing of friends and family, and help us to know that they are rejoicing in your presence. We praise you for the grace you shower upon us, constantly forgiving our errors, especially the ones that we don't share with any but you. Hear now the silent fears and worries of our hearts. Amen. In the great compassion of our God, the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus has shown us God's forgiveness for our sins. Therefore, I declare to you this day the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As God has forgiven us, so let us be forgiving one of another. Let us greet one another now in Jesus' name, and may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The peace of Christ be with you. Peace of Christ be with you, Newell. Peace of Christ be with you. Let us turn in the book of praise to sing hymn 338, Let All Things Now Living, number 338, or as it will appear before you on the screens.
Let all things now living, a song of thanksgiving.
I was going to ask if I saw Raylan back there this morning. Good morning, Raylan. Come on up. And are there any other young people this morning who would like to come up for the story? It might just be you and me this morning, eh? All right. How are you this morning? Good. I'm glad to hear that. This morning is a special morning here in church. This morning is a day that we call All Saints Day. Alex, I'm going to step down. For those who know, I have promised the guys that this is where I stand when I tell the children's story. But since it's only Raylan and I, it kind of seems strange for me to stand all the way back there, doesn't it? This is All Saints Sunday. And so I was wondering, can you tell me, what is a saint? Sorry? You don't know. I know, it's a hard question, isn't it? You know what? If I ask them, I'm not sure they could tell us either. Now, some people think a saint's an old guy like this guy. Anybody remember who this is? This is your test from last week. That's our friend Athanasius from last week. You remember Athanasius? Saint Athanasius. So he's got it in his name, doesn't he? Some people think that old guys like this are saints. Then I have this picture. Do you know who this is? No. This is, we all know who this is. Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa, who did so many good works in India with the poor of that country and was made a saint. Do you know this gentleman? No, he's before your time too. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who did so much work in the civil rights movement around in the United States. Some people view him as kind of a saint. Now, I've got one more face for you to look at. Are you ready? Who's that?
Raylan.
That's Raylan. I can't wander around and show you all Raylan's face. Of course, it would change if I showed it to you anyway, because this is a mirror. And who do we see when we look in a mirror? We see ourselves, right? And it's important for us to remember that the Bible teaches us that everyone who gathers together around God's word and listens to God and learns of his love and seeks to follow him every day of his life is a saint. And so as we gather for All Saints today, we just don't remember the high and the mighty, the important, but we remember that we are saints, and those who have come before us are saints as well, and that we in all seek to be faithful and walk along the paths that they have trod. So that's our story about saints this morning, Raylan. Now, there's a lesson this morning. And it's not on the passage I'm going to read. It's on, Zacchaeus? Today's Zacchaeus? Yeah, we did Zacchaeus a couple of weeks ago in worship. This morning, the young people are going to do it downstairs. So we'll see you after worship this morning. So if you want to go with Trish and Laura, they're on the way. And let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. With your word, enlighten the eyes of our hearts, that we might live in hope through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Morning. The Old Testament lesson is from the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 1 to 3 and 15 to 18. In the first year of King Belshazzar of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head as he lay in bed. Then he wrote down the dream. I, Daniel, saw in my vision by night the four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was troubled within me, and the visions of my head terrified me. I approached one of the attendants and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he said that he would disclose to me the interpretation of the matter. As for these four great beasts, four kings shall arise out of the earth, but the holy ones of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. The responsive reading is Psalm 149. The words will be on the screens. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with victory.
Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their couches. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. To execute on them the judgment decreed. This is glory for all his faithful ones. Praise the Lord. And the epistle reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Verses 11 to 23. In the Christ we have obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Once more, let us turn in praise as we sing hymn 606, Ye Holy Angels Bright, hymn 606. And our final reading from God's Word, taking from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 to 31. Let us listen for God's Word to his people. Then Jesus came down with his disciples and stood on a level place. With a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for the power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did of the prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How are we to understand the word blessed? It's not something that we think about all the time, is it? And yet, we run into passages like the one that we've just read from Luke's Gospel this morning, and something just doesn't seem right, does it? In what we've read, it doesn't quite mesh with our typical understanding of being blessed. Often in our daily speech, we use the word blessed as a synonym for fortunate or lucky. We receive some adulation from a friend or at work, and we say that we feel blessed to have been associated with them. We get back from a great trip somewhere probably sunny this time of year, and we say that we were blessed to be able to get some time away. And then Luke speaks out, "Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who are hated and reviled." And somehow, our blessings don't seem to reconcile with the gospel anymore. Then Luke speaks out, "Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are full. Woe to you when people speak well of you." And we begin to wonder about our lives and question if our blessings are truly blessings. Luke, in his recounting of Jesus' sermon here by the seashore, uses a formula that we encounter several times throughout Scripture. The formula of blessings and woes. It's a structure that repeats in God's word. I guess the best way to describe this formula when it shows up in Scripture is as a corrective teaching. There's always a sense of judgment in these passages when Jesus or the prophet says, woe, woe to you. As the rabbi, be it the prophet, such as the prophet Isaiah, who uses this structure, or Jesus here today, holds out two options for the listeners. Not this, but this. This morning, Jesus says, the blessing of life cannot be found in riches, but is to be found in poverty. The blessing of life is not filled in our satisfaction, but in our hunger. Why is this so? It is so because it is in our need that we experience most profoundly our relationship and our reliance on God. If we have all that we need, it's far too easy for us to lose sight of that dependence upon God and to think that we have earned it all for ourselves. Thinking about where we are in the church year, where we've been and where we're going, over the next several weeks as we draw to the close of another year in the life of a church and the beginning of yet another liturgical year as we move into the season of Advent and prepare for Christmas, we will move through a season over these next 5 or 6 weeks of blessings and woes. Of the recognition that God steps into the world and steps into our lives, and that every now and then the words that God utters are unsettling for us. Words that remind us that the kingdom of God is a kingdom of great reversal. A kingdom in which God looks upon those who have suffered the economic injustice of our world and stoops to give them rest. That God has compassion on those who suffer for their faith at the hands of the self-assured. For the self-assured, you see, have no need of God. The power and might are not the last words in human history, and that all those who live precariously can rest assured that even in the darkest alleys and untraveled places of our world, God is still there, and God still sees. And on this morning, as we gather to remember all those whom we have known and loved, and especially those whom we have lost over this past year, we come mindful of the fact that the God in whom we trust overthrows the power of sin and death also. That in reconciliation received through Christ Jesus and manifested in his life, we discover that death is not the end to life, but a mere transition to that state, that moment, that mystery in which we will dwell in the presence of God. We do not know what it exactly looks like, but perhaps it is something like this, that we will dwell in the presence of God just as Adam walked with God in Eden at the cool of the day, so too have we been created to walk with our God. And indeed, that is the reason why we gather in the presence of God each week, to hear this hope, to hear a hope that is different from everything that we hear in the world around us. That life is not limited by the things of the world, neither blessings or woes in the end, but that the love of God that watches over us is ever present with us in each estate of life, and that promises us a new and living hope. That the power of this world does not define us, for we belong to the great kingdom of God, and in the end, we will all see the Lord. And in that moment, we shall be blessed. Thanks be to God for his enduring love and faithfulness to us, this day and always. Amen. As we come to our affirmation of faith, we turn in the Presbyterian Church in Canada's Living Faith document to chapter 10, and the first of that chapter, which is entitled, Our Hope with God. Our Hope in God. Let us read responsively as this reading appears before you on the screens. God has prepared for us things beyond our imagining. Life in the age to come is pictured in the Bible in different ways. An eternal kingdom, a new heaven and a new earth, a marriage feast, an unending day, the Father's house, and the joy of God's presence. God will triumph over all opposition and everything that disrupts the creation. All things in heaven and on earth belong to God, who is coming in glory to reveal a new creation. Let us offer our lives to the Lord as we present our tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Eternal God, as we wait for the fulfillment of your reign, use these gifts and the gifts of our lives to bring justice to those who are oppressed, to set free those who are in prison, to lift up those who are bowed down, and to uphold those who are vulnerable. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As has become our custom over the past several years on this All Saints Sunday, as we gather for the prayers of the people, we pause for a moment to remember all of those whose lives have touched ours and who have died over this past year, and to light candles as we name them. We remember those members of our congregation who have died over the past year. We remember Myrna Whitaker, Benjamin Woods Chisholm, Myrna Esdale, Joan Forgey, Agnes Cooper, and Phyllis McDonald. From our community, we remember Pierre Chartrand and those who are dear to members of our congregation. We remember Mary Ray Woods, Brian Woods, the parents of Sarah Jane Woods, and Noreen Galanders, the mother of Colleen Galanders Adams. And we light the central candle as a remembrance of all those who have died in the Lord and who now rest from their labors. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. All praise to you, most holy God, Lord and giver of life. Before time began, you set the world on its course in the universe and called forth order out of chaos. As your great crowning act of creation, you created humanity in your own image that we might live in relationship with you. And yet we turned our backs on your love and sought to live the life you had given to us on our own terms. But even then you did not forsake us. Through the patriarchs, kings, and prophets, you sought to draw us back into the sacred relationship with you through commandments, rituals, and your corrective word. Yet we were unwilling to listen to your voice and slow to turn from the ways of this world and back to you. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, Jesus, to show us the grace that you extend to us and to all. He lived a life of perfect servanthood and renewed in humanity a longing to dwell with you. For us, he took upon himself the cross, defeating the power of sin and death, and in his resurrection revealed to us that our lives are not limited, but that we shall all one day dwell in your presence. For the hope of the gospel, we give you all thanks and praise. On this day, We give you thanks for all those who have gone before us or who have walked alongside us, nurturing us in the faith, accompanying us on the journey of life, assuring us of your love as we have seen it in their lives. We thank you for ministers and teachers of this congregation who have inspired us by their faithfulness, wisdom, and companionship. We thank you for teachers and youth workers who have opened your word for us, and for elders and church friends who have visited us in sickness and in sorrow and have prayed with us and for us. And today we give you thanks for our friends and loved ones, both those we have named before the altar of your grace and those who remain unnamed but are known by you, and who now stand in the nearer fellowship of your eternal kingdom. Preserve us in the faith, we pray, Almighty God, and so cause us to grow each day that the love that we have known might overflow our lives to bless the world through us. Help us as your church to find new ways to be present, new ways to present the gospel in this place, that others may learn of you and seek to live in relationship with you. Sustain this day all who mourn, those who are ill or are in hospital, and any who are in need of your special and healing care. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, be all honor and praise this day and forevermore. Hear us now as we continue praying in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning's closing praise is number 615 in the Book of Praise. Let saints on earth in concert ring, number 615. And before the benediction, just a reminder, there is a time of fellowship following worship in the McClellan Room, which is just behind the sanctuary, so please plan to stay. Jennifer brought cookies this morning, so there are extra cookies for us to enjoy. Friends, go out into this world to proclaim the message. Be persistent in prayer, do the work of the gospel, and carry out the ministry of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. You're going out and you're coming in from this time onward and forevermore. Amen.